because I don't think we've covered the murder of Tristan Bailey yet, have we? I don't think we have.
No.
So, yeah. So, if folks don't know, Tristan Bailey is a 13-year-old girl who was murdered by a 14-year-old boy.
Okay, what did he feel entitled to?
I like how you're asking that as if we don't already all know the answer.
Jesus.
St. John's County detectives are investigating the death of 13-year-old Tristan Bailey, and they found not only bloody clothing and sneakers in the bedroom of her accused killer, Aiden Fucci, but also a notebook containing drawings of, quote, a violent nature. Among the drawings referenced in the reports was an illustration depicting a satanic element, including a pentagram. Another drawing showed a nude female with red X's over her breasts and genitals and what appeared to be blood coming from several wounds. When 14-year-old Fucci was put into a sheriff's office interrogation room and told by his parents that Bailey was dead and he was the last person who had seen her alive, he replied... Would you like to guess how he replied?
No. How did he reply?
How is that my problem?
How is that his problem?
Gotta kill that one. 14, so young, but mm-mm. Later in the interview, the report said Fucci admitted he had kissed Bailey and she reacted by grabbing him. So he pushed her down and she hit her head. He said he then walked away. Okay. Kids are really bad liars. Toxicology found no indication of sexual assault, although there were handprints on Bailey's thighs that were not hers. The autopsy confirmed what state attorney RJ LaRizza said last month. Holy fuck. Bailey was stabbed 114 times, and at least 35 wounds were over the head and neck area, and many of the wounds were defensive in nature. According to LaRizza, Fucci's knife was found in a pond in close proximity to Bailey's body. The tip of the knife was broken off and found by the medical examiner inside Bailey's body, according to an autopsy report released Wednesday. He stabbed her so hard he broke the fucking knife. Jesus.
Hitting bone, I guess.
Yeah. The bottom line is that premeditation could be inferred, certainly just from the sheer number of stab wounds that Tristan Bailey had to suffer, said LaRizza. To say it was horrific could arguably be an understatement. That's one of the reasons LaRizza cited as why Fucci will be tried as an adult for first-degree murder. 14. LaRizza said, quote, I hope the parents will learn something from this vicious and brutal murder, and that this is, and what that is that you need to know what your kids are doing and what they are saying, because while we might not be able to stop these brutal and vicious murders from happening, we ought to at least try. He kind of reminds me of Dylan Roof, actually, with the hair a little bit. Fucci's girlfriend told one investigator, so he has a girlfriend, that he hears voices in his head when he's angry, and said the voices would tell him that he is worthless and a disappointment and told him to kill people.
Now, what we don't know is if he actually did or was he just saying that shit because right. He's an asshole white boy.
Exactly.
Saying something to get a reaction.
Right. Or to be like, it's not my fault.
And I know somebody, there's someone tuned in that's like, you see, and that's why they won't come forward and say anything, because that response right there. Nigga, this is the reputation white men and boys have collectively earned.
Mm-hmm.
Earn a different reputation.
The girlfriend also said that on occasion, Fucci would surprise her from behind and put a knife to her throat and pretend to slit it. And he had nicknames for his two knives, Picker and Poker. She told detectives less than a month before Bailey was killed, Fucci told her he was going to kill someone. He was going to find a person walking at night, drag them into the woods, and stab them. She said Fucci knew something was wrong, and she wanted him to reach out for help. So, like, I can't go too hot on her because presumably she's also 13, 14, 15. That seems to be the age range of everyone involved here.
Yeah.
But also, like... Y'all need to stop giving this fucking plausible deniability to these boys. He came up behind you with a knife and pretended to slit your throat as a joke. He has nicknames for his knives. He told you he was gonna murder somebody, and y'all didn't tell anyone. Y'all just said, please go to therapy.
And remember the George Carlin bit, or said, one of the stupidest things people say is, it's the quiet ones you gotta worry about. And it's
They're
like,
never quiet.
What about the fucking loud one? That's sitting there, that's on the, standing on the bar talking about, I'll kill everyone in here. I'm gonna watch that guy.
All right, so yeah, he said he was gonna find someone and I'd drag him into the woods and stab them. Okay, well, When Fucci was in the back of the St. John's deputy cruiser before he was arrested, he called his girlfriend to say he was going to plead the fifth. Oh, and he took a... Oh, this kid is a fucking dick. He took a selfie in the back of a police car and tagged it, "Has anyone seen Tristan lately?" That's the name of the girl he killed. So he literally was taking selfies from the cop car saying, "Does anyone know where Tristan is?" Fucking dick.
Yeah, and who raised him? Who was he around? Look in his phone. What's his YouTube history? What's his 4chan login name? Hell, who does he have for? Does 4chan have private messages? Who's he share private messages with?
What's the fucking one that they're all on now?
Gab?
Gab and,
The Kiwi?
Kiwi Farms. No, the, Discord.
They're Discording now.
Yeah, a lot of the shit goes down on Discord.
So I need to delete our Discord?
Oh, we don't have to. Ours is fine.
Okay, because I think we made it so we could interact with Leslie and them folks.
We did, yeah. But yeah, that's the thing, because like we made our own little like room, and you can, you know, anyone can make their own room, and there are some rooms that are, yeah.
Okay, I don't really know Discord. I know Facebook. Yeah. I'm damn good at that. I'm such a Facebooker.
Yeah, well, basically the equivalent would be like in Discord, like what servers and shit are you on, or what private groups are you on Facebook? It's like the same question.
They're bold enough to use the language server.
Oh, yeah.
They call it a server.
A lot of them do, yeah.
That's bold. It's not a server. Stop playing around.
All right, so Dr. Stephen Bloomfield is a forensic psychologist who specializes in violent outbursts. Bloomfield said, quote, "Something happened." Well, no shit, Sherlock.
Something
Thank you,
happened.
Dr. Bloomfield.
Check him out.
I could tell you something happened. Can I have a fucking PhD, please? Shit.
Hey, things clear. Hey, something happened.
Right. A girl got stabbed 115 times and your commentary is something happened?
Nigga, every fucking thing is something happened. Nigga, if a car is driving down the street, a mechanic must have fixed a tire on it. Something happened.
So according to Dr. Bloomfield, something happened. There was a click of rage or something where he couldn't control his impulse.
Couldn't control it. What about the day before? What about every other fucking time in his life that he was pissed the fuck off?
Okay, but my thing, though, is like, and I know I'm not a psychologist or psychiatrist, but these mental illness and court cases like this is always very bizarre to me because I honestly don't know how you can go from stabbing someone, I think they said 115 times, 118 times? What did they say? 114 times. So he stabbed
35 above the neck.
35 above the neck. Stabbed her 114 times, calls his knives picker and poker, has threatened to murder people, all this shit. But then when he gets arrested, he's taking selfies from the back of the cop car, mocking it, saying who knows where Tristan is, and telling his girlfriend he's going to plead the fifth to get out of it. That sounds like premeditation. Now, it's not going to work, obviously, but he's not that smart and he doesn't know that yet. But the point being, it's very hard to convince me that he has a mental illness where he just, like, snapped and lost all control when he then immediately starts taking selfies, making fun of the dead victim, and talking about how he's going to get out of it by pleading the fifth. Like, that doesn't seem like that flows to me. You know what I mean? Does that, you know? I don't know.
Yes.
Like, because you went from batshit crazy to cold calculated, I'm getting out of this very quickly. There was not a lot of downtime here.
Yeah, like, and the whole thing really is, like, yeah, there is a degree of cold calculation, but not like, a nefarious genius.
Right.
This is really just an asshole white guy who is an asshole white guy in the wrong way.
Yeah.
Right? If he would have did this as a cop and tased her in the face, like, of 2013 story I covered, and she died that way, then that would have just been a hero in the line of duty.
Right.
Much like how you said he reminds you of Dylann Roof with the hair. Mm-hmm. Because he's a fucking doofus as a white supremacist, as a male supremacist.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's just a doofus at it and did it in a way that he sacrificed himself to the prison system in a way in which he can't really contribute to the systems that uphold his what could have been his position of power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he sacrificed his position of power for a moment of lustful rage, if you will.
Yeah, I could see that. And then Ken Jefferson, a safety expert for News 4JAX, said, quote, if someone had spoken up, this possibly could have been avoided. Maybe they could have gotten to him in time to get inside of his head to see what's making him tick.
What the fuck? The same thing that's inside Paul Ryan's head when him and Todd Akin were in a picture together looking like goofballs because they were trying to literally pass a legitimate rape bill. That's what's in his fucking head.
Mm-hmm.
Legitimate rape bills. God damn. We have representation for what the fuck this young man is at the very top of everything in Trump and Biden. Let's not forget mm-hmm. the name Tara Reid, people.
Right. Shit, Epstein still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So according to the affidavit from St. John's County Sheriff's Office, Fucci was interviewed on the morning of May 9th. At 1:45 a.m., the warrant states two people believed to be Bailey and Fucci were seen walking east along Saddlestone Drive. It states that surveillance video at 3:27 recorded a person believed to be Fucci walking alone, carrying a pair of white Nike shoes. Bailey's body was found... Oh, what a fucking dick. Bailey's body was found later that day on Mother's Day. Seriously? All right. That's not the day you want to find your child. I thought I had more down here. My bad.
Oh.
Okay, so Mother's Day. All right. Near a retention pond in a cul-de-sac in the Durbin Crossing subdivision, less than half a mile from Fucci's home. The discovery was made by a neighbor around 6 p.m., roughly 8 hours after Bailey's family reported her missing. News 4JAX spoke with a local attorney who said the new information released sets up a long, grueling court case. He said there are some details that may come into play. First and foremost, as we're dealing with a juvenile here, yes, but he's being treated as an adult, so I don't know. And also, I should point out that the girl he killed is like... conventionally attractive, she's thin, she seems to be able-bodied, she's blonde. Like, you can't stab little white girls in the face 35 times.
You know, and you which I'll note that, like, when you said skinny, able-bodied, blonde, that was the image from the white woman in a different clip we did where she had the girl in the bulletproof thing for school.
Mm-hmm.
Blonde, little, able-bodied yep. white girl.
Yep. Looking like one of the kids from Village of the Damned. Okay, so Holes Bar, this is the attorney they went to just to get his insights, who is not affiliated with the case, said that a case involving a child murder suspect who on paper seems to lack self-awareness is probably not mature enough to understand the consequences of the charges he faces.
Shit. Nigga, you think he doesn't know prison exists?
Right, and also, like, you think he doesn't know he can't kill people? Because, like, that is always the shit I notice with these. And, of course, this is children, so it's slightly different. But these cases where it's, like, a misogyny, clearly, like, a misogyny-fueled case or, like, a homophobic-ruled situation or, like, you know what I mean? Or a racism-fueled situation. They never attack people who would be seen as, like, I guess, a challenge. Like, you stabbed a little white girl in the face. You didn't fucking go, like, try to, you know, beef with, like, a grown-ass woman who does kickboxing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they never fucking do.
And in dealing with a child, like, as if they can't differentiate between a 5-year-old and a 14-year-old, that nigga knows that he can go to prison for that shit.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that... He knows it's fucked up all around.
Yeah.
That's why he didn't just go walk up to a random white girl in the middle of a McDonald's and stab her to death. As it tends to go, it's someone you know.
Yep. Holzaber, this is the attorney, said it. His age opens the door for many defenses on the young man's behalf and said that a lot will happen before the case goes to trial. There will be a lot of evaluations and psychological screenings. Full analysis of his background and environment will come into play. But then I have to ask, like, what kind of environment is he living in that apparently he's just pulling knives on people as a joke? Because ain't nobody fucking pulling a knife on me like it's a fucking joke.
Yeah, and the cold shit is, like, and I don't want to get into a knife fight. I hate injuries, but I am a blue-collar worker. I quite literally already always have a severely sharp blade on me. So keep in mind, like, if you pull your dull kitchen knife out on me, we're both going to be hurt. But you're going to have very deep infected cuts.
Yeah.
Because also, the only shit that my knife touches is shit that is in a factory.
Ooh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm just, like, glancing to see if there's any more details. They did find the murder weapon. It was a hunting knife, apparently.
Okay. Oh, you can do some hurting.
Yeah, but, like, I don't think it's legal for kids to have those. This is fucking Florida, so who the fuck knows what the laws are down there. But, like, up here, you can't have a knife that big. You can't just walk around with that shit.
Oh, is there, like, inches to, like, the amount of knife or weight? I don't know.
In Illinois, it's based on inches, and you cannot just be walking around with shit like that.
Because that is, you start fucking around with, like, does it become, like, a sword at some
point? Yeah, well, because at that point, it's so big, like, it's clearly being used for a weapon. It's not like a pocket knife where you're like, oh, let me pull it out and, like, cut this, like, loose string on my shirt or some shit. You're walking around with that because you're trying to fuck somebody up.
Yeah, like, mine is super sharp because it is a box cutter because...
But it's short. Because it's for work. Because it's meant
I literally cut boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
boxes and zip ties. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Jeez. So that's what's going on with that case. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it reminds me of the fucking little white boy.
Oh, he cut his hair, by the way.
Oh, to look better in court?
Yeah.
God damn, is that a common one?
Yeah.
Jesus, can we get a super cut of leftive podcasters? A super cut of leftist podcasters covering when a white boy cut his hair before court.
I think the worst one, though, was the Nazi, right? Do you remember
Where
that
they
one?
Let him get the tattoos removed or
he
covered?
He didn't get them removed, but he got that, that like professional grade like cover up makeup to cover his face Nazi tattoos because the judge felt it would be prejudicial. But could you imagine being on the jury just thinking it's a white dude and then like you see him after the trial and he's just got like a big ass fucking swastika tattooed on his face?
Yeah, because that's also lying to the jury.
Right,
you're making the jury less informed.
Right.
Which again, none of you actually believe in any of these bullshit values. The free speech you don't believe in. You don't even believe in the Third Amendment, you lying fuck. You would so soon force me to quarter soldiers in my home. I fucking know it. None of you believe in any of this shit you espouse.
Look,
the entirety of whiteness is that thou protesteth too much. The lot of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I know it sounds like a stretch and I'm just being like a boomer and whining about it, but as far as quartering soldiers, I think that it should also be illegal for them to call and ask you for money for donations. Do not ever fucking call me and ask me to donate to a policeman's ball. I never, ever, ever will.
And best believe, like, the times that you called me, I'm just gonna hold you on the line asking you stupid questions. It's like, so, do you think that I am a nigger? I have done that on the phone with him for minutes.
That's funny.
And also, they will not let you say that on TikTok. Like, I was trying to mock a white man on TikTok, and it fucking muted the entire video because I said the word nigger.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I also wonder if it's because it's hard R. Like, if I would have said knucka, like, would it have picked it up? Yeah.
Right. That's worth noting. The last thing I'm going to say about this case where this young individual stabbed Tristan Bailey. His lawyers are like filing all their like little motions and shit now. One of the motions that they filed is one that will prevent the jury from seeing the autopsy photos or the crime scene photos because they don't want to see how bad he fucked that girl up.
This, again, pathological to whiteness. You can't see the Nazi tattoos on the face. You can't see the fucking what you just mentioned there.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see this lesson in school because it's critical race theory.
Mm-hmm.
Before they had the language critical race theory, it was just anti-American.
Yep.
Or it was just, Southern lost cause. We got to teach them about happy slaves. I remember, like, when I was in grade 5, the entirety of slavery in the history book was the corner of a page. It wasn't even a part of the chapter or the page. It was like, you know how they'll have like a blurb?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the language. That was it. That was slavery.
Really?
And the Civil War was also a blurb.
Damn.
In grade 5 history. And for me, folks, like, you know what shit is like now? This was 1994. Right?
Okay. It's interesting that you say that because we did actually have a decent slavery and Civil War unit, but I think that's also because of the geography, because where we were in the North, a lot of it got to be written as, and then we sent troops to help the Union.
Because it's
so
Illinois.
So we get to talk about it, right. And then we had all these spots on the Underground Railroad to help slaves run away because slavery was terrible. Aren't we amazing? There was like a lot of that. But because it was also like the patting on the back, it did actually open the door to more actual history.
And I think that, like, the difference between my experience and yours, because, like, Phoenix Gleeter is only 2 years older than me, right? So we're in the same realm, mm-hmm. and because age gap is creepy, don't do it. I think that I lived in an example of the farther north you go, the further south you get, right? And also, like, what north I was in. Washington State, right above Oregon. Oregon was the don't let niggers move here state,
right.
which is the way it started. And then I think there's a degree of this, and I really don't care which descendants of white immigrants get offended by this, but I think that there being a high population of Scotch-Irish, Scottish-Irish folks out there, mm-hmm. I think that led to those racist attitudes of how you want to teach race in America as well, because Scots are assholes.
Well, and I think that a lot of that, too, is personally, I find that, like, the white ethnic groups that tend to have the most anti-blackness among them are oftentimes the one that weren't allowed to be white until they engaged in anti-blackness.
Hmm.
So they're white now, but they still never let that anti-blackness go, right? So you see, like, a lot of Italians, right? Scotch-Irish, yeah? Like, there's a lot of weird racism in some of those groups. But I really do wonder if that is because of, you know, from the historical standpoint, that they weren't allowed to be white until they became anti-black. So they're like, oh, that's all it takes? Well, fuck these niggers, right?
Yep.
And then it was like, oh, fuck, you know.
And then they have that, because, like, they got to come here and become slave owners.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they literally got to come here in two ways on slavery, to become slave owners, and in particular, when cotton money built institutions like Harvard University, they actually advertised for Scottish immigrants mm-hmm. in their late teens and early 20s to come to our new university.
Yeah.
So they literally came here on the backs of slavery. Why wouldn't they support it moving all the way up into the 1990s?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're on here making clips.
We are making clips.